Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. And may I be the first, on behalf of my good friend Dan Fisher and our crew here at Liberty Pastors and Riding the Storm Out, wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and we hope you have a blessed and happy New Year.
And may I be the one to say that we're happy that you are feeling better, because that's one of the reasons why we haven't done a podcast.
Thank you so much.
A couple of weeks.
For those of you that were curious, I had shoulder surgery 6 weeks ago, and one of the risks of orthopedic surgery is blood clots and pneumonia, and I had at least the pneumonia and possibly the other.
Both.
But we've been out of things for a couple of weeks, but our first day back in the office, and glad to be
doing well, buddy.
I wouldn't say I'm back in the saddle. I'm riding side saddle. Maybe that's
that's normal.
That's appropriate.
That's the way women ride.
I'll just leave it there. Yeah, I knew where we were going with this. I brought it up. I zinged myself, so I knew where we were going.
You certainly did.
First of all, let me give a shout out to Patriot Mobile. For those of you that inquired at our camps, we finally do have an established special promo with Patriot Mobile. So, and I can tell you, I've been on Patriot Mobile for about 6 months. I have had AT&T in the past. I've had Verizon in the past. Now I have Patriot Mobile. Quite frankly, the service is the service. They use the same towers.
They're
as bad or as good as everybody else. However, the difference is they have very competitive rate plans. There's some special features here that you will receive as a part of Liberty Pastors. Plus, we must weaponize our money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so thrilled to see so many states pulling their investments and their retirement programs out of BlackRock.
Yeah.
We have got to defund the enemy and recognize that AT&T and Verizon, most of these countries are full-blown woke right now. Patriot Mobile, you can have great service, a great product, a great price, and we'll be funding a great God-fearing, Christian-owned and run company rather than the godless. So, with that being said,
How do they get in on the special deal?
Go to PatriotMobile.com/LibertyPastors. Or when you go to Patriot Mobile, you can just enter into the code Liberty Pastors, or you can go to our website. As we have it mentioned on our website, there's a Patriot Mobile link, so you can access it in either form or fashion.
Great.
Now, Dan, last time we were here, we were talking about some of the illegal behavior. Well, boy, stop the presses on that. There's a lot of illegal behavior going on inside the Beltway. But we had seen that the Senate had actually passed what they fraudulently call the Defense of Marriage Act. Of course, recognized right now, just like a respect.
Yeah.
Just like the Inflation Reduction Act
did
the exact
opposite.
So, too, does the Respect for Marriage Act do the exact opposite. So, since last time, the Senate had already acted. What's the new news?
So, since we talked to everybody the last time, Paul, the House has now overwhelmingly voted for it as well, with, I believe, 39 Republicans voting in favor of it as well.
Our own Stephanie Bice from District 5, who is not a conservative. We've never believed that she was. Obviously, she was the lesser of two evils, but I'm not sure how much lesser. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, so 39 Republicans helped push it over. And so now, basically, it's awaiting the signature of the president.
Vice president who served the White House. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the fraud in chief.
I can't help myself. I can't help it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So it's waiting the signature of President Biden, and then it becomes the law of the land. And many believe that this is their attempt to preempt the overturning of the Obergefell decision, because many on the left believe that we're headed toward an overturn of that, just like we saw of Roe v. Wade, which, as we've seen, most of the states then go ahead and do the wickedness instead of the federal government. But at least it's in the proper realm of authority. The states are deciding this instead of the federal government. So that's the update on where we are. So we're waiting on the great press conference where we can all watch it with bated breath as President Biden signs this wonderful act.
Well, you know, fortunately, there are people on our side that are optimists, that the glass is always half full.
Yeah,
myself in the glass is half empty category.
Yeah,
but I do know that there is an argument that this is actually a good thing. The Obergefell decision will now get pushed up to the Supreme Court, and it'll obviously get thrown out,
we hope,
as we have a change of the makeup of the court since 2015.
Right.
Of the three justices that have been replaced, there have been at least two justices put on the court and one injustice put on the court since then.
Exactly,
but anyway, the favorability towards conservative values should be there. We at least hope it's here. But you and I say it's even beyond that. It's up to the states to stand up
and say no
when the federal government does something they don't have the authority to do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we have talked about many, many times. First of all, David, can you put up the slide from Justice Kennedy in 2013? This is ironic. And this is where Matt Staver, I know this is an argument he believes that we will win on. Because one thing, and we can talk about it in a minute, there's not even a protection for religious liberty in this.
No, in fact, they intentionally didn't put it in. Our own Senator James Lankford argued that at least we should protect religious beliefs, and they rejected that idea.
So that could help us in the appeal up to the court.
Well,
but the reality is, what do you think the true motive is for the Equality Act? Who's targeted? Who do they want to put in jail?
Yeah, Christians, conservative Christians.
Yep.
I'm going to be careful here, because I think there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and I'm not even sure they are, but there appear to be left-leaning Christians. Well, they're happy with them. It's people like us and guys that have been to our camps and fellows around the country who really believe the Bible means what it says and says what it means.
If you're going to keep in harmony with the state's hymn book and sing exactly the message they want sung, you're okay. But if you stand for the Lord God of all creation and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, stand for biblical truth, then you're going to be charged.
Well, it's just like the case that's before the Supreme Court right now about the web designer who refused to design a website that violated their religious convictions, and yet there was a restaurant, and I can't remember if it's in California or New York, that refused to seat a conservative Christian group that had reserved the banquet room to have their gathering for the year, and they refused service to them. That's okay. See, because they were dissing Christians.
It's like the church. So many churches we have seen. That the churches that are liberal leaning that bring in a Joe Biden or Barack Obama,
well, take up offerings and give them to their campaign funds.
However, if there's a conservative church that actually has a candidate that stands for limited government or biblical values, then of course that's where you get a letter from Barry Lynn that you're being investigated, which actually
well,
you really
that's
are.
Kind of a badge of honor, isn't it?
Exactly, as you and I know. But
yeah,
but notice this: you know, Bill Clinton had been pressured to sign the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
And it was taken to court. And Justice Kennedy, actually writing the majority opinion on this, as they said that the Defense of Marriage Act was illegal and unconstitutional, because, as Kennedy says, that the this issue, marital issue, is reserved to the states.
To the states.
So it was thrown out. So that was actually, although I like the Defense of Marriage Act, in principle, he was correct.
Now why is it reserved to the states? What is our reasoning there? Why?
A reminder that the federal government didn't create these entities called states and delegate few powers to the states. It's actually the exact opposite. It were the United States. We had 13 states in existence that they came together, created a limited general government, and delegated to that government few and defined powers. So in this case, the states didn't give permission to Washington, D.C. to navigate in this
area.
And
so if there's not a specific delegation to the federal government, where does it always fall back to?
It is retained by the states.
And that's that pesky, what,
the Tenth Amendment thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem.
a pebble in the shoe, isn't it?
Yeah.
David, would you put up some of the comments from James Madison? In fact, that was the 14th Amendment. Actually, then Justice Kennedy, we talked a little bit ago about the Defense of Marriage Act. Justice Kennedy said it's illegitimate, 2013, because marriage belongs to the purview of the states. Then 2 years later, in the Obergefell decision, he said the 14th Amendment trumps the state constitutions. So literally the same liar took two sides of the same argument and then forced, although we haven't, nobody's voted for it, but forced on the United States of America, or so-called forced on the United States of America, the idea that we must adopt same-sex marriage.
So a liar lied?
A lie. Can you believe that? You believe that? Well, see, this is no surprise to those of us that recognize what's going on inside Washington.
No, right, exactly.
So is Washington the answer?
No.
Well, no. That's what we've been trying to teach.
And I would argue that the framers didn't think Washington was the answer either.
No.
They believed their own states, their country.
Well, put up Federalist 45, if you would, David. One more. Go ahead and hit another one. This is talking about the authority that was given to the Supreme Court, which is very little, and judicial review wasn't amongst it. But during the after the Constitutional Convention had been completed, then the states had to ratify this new Constitution. So there was a fierce debate going on in the state of New York. And what, John Jay, James Madison, and Hamilton.
Alexander.
Alexander, Hamilton. Thank you, went blank there. Alexander Hamilton, all put together what were arguments for ratifying the Constitution. They were published in papers in the state of New York. They've been bound, and we now call them the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
But argument number 45, and Federalist 45 says this, the powers delegated by the, tell you that, Dan, I'm about shy of voice.
Okay, let's do it. This? Yeah, so Federalist 45, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite.
And there you see that, states delegating few and defined powers to Washington. Go ahead and hit the next
one. And delegate, by the way, is not give loan.
Yeah.
Loan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delegate means to loan.
They're still the boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll read the next part. The former, that would be the federal government, will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, foreign commerce, with which last the power of taxation will, for the most part, be connected. The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state.
So we see right here, in fact, hit one more. I think we have one more short slide here, David. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it says the operations of the federal government will be most extensive and important in times of war and danger, those of the state governments in times of peace and security.
So we see that the founders recognized that states remain states. They delegated few. In fact, they defined the powers that they delegated, they gave to this limited general or federal government of their creation, each state reserving to themselves, as Jefferson said, the residuary mass of self-government.
Yeah.
So, and then we saw Justice Kennedy actually accurately interpreting the law with
the first time around
in 2013, the Windsor case, and saying that this issue was left to the states because... Now, I would say it's left to God, but
of course,
the states didn't delegate the definition of the home to the federal government. So they have no say-so.
No authority whatsoever.
It's like when they try to infringe on our right to keep and bear arms.
Right.
Second Amendment says, beyond any doubt, the federal government has no authority.
Shall not be infringed.
So what do we do in a situation like that? What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do when they had a perverse law handed down by the general government?
They said, no, thank you.
What did Daniel do when there was a perverse law handed down by the general government?
No, thank you.
What did the Hebrew midwives do when there was a perverse law handed down?
No, thank you.
So what must we do as Christians?
Bow down.
No, I'm not talking about the popular church of the day. I'm being real Christians.
We should say, thus saith the Lord, no.
Absolutely.
That's because that was their reason for not bowing.
Gentlemen, I do believe that if this goes to court, and Dan, I think you and we are in agreement, the good guys will win at the Supreme Court level.
I think so.
But it may take one of us to be engaged in that. It may be a challenge that we have to make. But under no circumstances can we reject God's authority and adopt something that God calls vile and sinful?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely no way.
And Paul, I think it's important to mention at this point that we're not rebels if we stand against unjust laws. Mm-hmm. In fact, throughout the 1700s, those preachers preached, and I've pointed it out in my book on Romans 13, that the ones who rebelled against unlawful laws were themselves the protectors. And you remember we quote from Alice Baldwin all the time, who was the great professor of history at Duke University at the turn of the 20th century. And she says that for the first 60 years of the 18th century, so we're talking 1700s, the prime directive for them is that no one was bound to obey an unconstitutional act, which would be, you know, an ungodly kind of thing. And so we're not encouraging people to rebel. We're actually encouraging them to stand up for the truth.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Romans 13. It's amazing that pastors have the wrong exegesis of Romans 13.
Sure.
And here's the reason I believe. They're told what it means before they ever read it.
Oh, of course. They've
and then as they
lives.
Read it, they just try to affirm what they think it says.
Yeah.
But it very clearly says that the purpose for civil government, in fact, the civil governors are ministers of God to thee for good.
Right.
It's only supposed to punish the evil
and reward
the good
guys.
Boy, I see nothing controversial in Romans 13.
No.
Tells me that God believes in proper government, proper limited government.
Yep.
And when the government exceeds his will or the limitations, it's up to us to resist
exactly right.
And say no.
In fact, I believe that what Paul is saying is that when he does the opposite of that, he's no longer the minister of God,
right.
But as Samuel West, the preacher in 1700, said, he's a messenger of Satan.
Yep.
And, you know, Paul, if I could just make a shameless plug here,
yeah.
I've written a book on this, Romans 13. It's a fairly easy read, but it's filled with all of the historical fact, and if they want to go to danfisherbrr.com, they can get a copy of it. But you're exactly right. These guys believe that you only submit to a proper government, and if they're rewarding the bad guys and punishing the good guys, they've become the tyrants, and it's our job to stand up and say, no, that's wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, as we wind down today's podcast, we haven't established battle plan yet, but we're working on one. But just kind of be preparing. We may just rally in June. You know, June used to be marriage month.
Yeah,
in fact, I got married in June. Many people got married in June.
Well, my wife and I did, too.
So, but now June has, by coincidence, become LGBT Pride Month. They're trying to attack what was ours in pure.
Of course.
It's kind of like the rainbow. They've usurped the rainbow, which was God's covenant sign, and turned it into something that's corrupt.
Well, it's like you said a while ago, Paul, before we actually started recording, whatever is godly, they come against, and whatever is ungodly, they embrace.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, in June, be thinking about teaching a series of proper marriage, proper sexuality. God created us as sexual beings.
Yeah.
And when we do things the way that God designed it, then we can enjoy God's blessings. When we shake our fist at God and say, we're going to do it our own way, we always make a mess out of things.
Oh, we do.
We need to be teaching our people, our children especially, what proper sexuality is by God's design and for his glory.
And could I add something, Paul?
Yeah.
You know, they characterize us now as, well, you're filled with hate because you hate people that are in same-sex, homosexual, lesbian relationships. Well, no more than I hate a thief or I hate a liar or I hate an adulterer. The Bible condemns those as well.
Yep.
Now, Jesus died for that sinner, but I think our pastors need to remind themselves that they must speak out on God's definition of marriage, and that doesn't turn them into a hater.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually a lover of what God said. And we freely preach against killing and stealing and lying.
Yeah.
Well, we have to preach against perversion of sex.
And the
well.
Bible speaks about that very issue, beginning
course.
In Genesis all the way through the New Testament.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
So we as pastors, we have to be standing firm in this attack. And quite frankly, gentlemen, if you haven't amended your bylaws and your constitution, you need to look at doing that, because they are going to be coming after the pastors and the churches in very short order.
And we have suggested language
we
from
have
Liberty
suggested
Council
language
on our website.
On our website. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But we also want to get you to think locally in this area. David, can you put up that slide of James Madison? We'll just do one of these from our founding father. That's Jefferson. Go back one if we can. James Madison, of course, has been given credit with as the father of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And he said this in dealing with an overreach by the federal government. Actually, this is less than a decade after the Constitution had been ratified.
Oh, yeah.
So they ratify it in 1791, approximately. And then by 1798, we have an abuse by the federal government. And Madison said this, in case of a deliberate, palpable, and dangerous exercise of other powers not granted by the Constitution to the federal government, then the states who are parties to the Constitution, they're the ones that came together and drafted it, delegated few powers to the federal government, then the states have the right and are in duty bound to stop the progress of evil. and notice this part that's in white, for maintaining within their respective limits. Each state border, each state itself must reject an unconstitutional act by the federal government because it is void and of no actual legal standing.
Yep, that's right.
So that's our strategy. Right now we see a lot of ungodliness. What do you do to ungodliness? You buckle your belt really tight and you stand against it.
Yeah, Jesus said you shine the light on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we've got to do now.
Yeah.
Buddy,
yeah,
anything else you want to share?
Not at all.
Well, folks, this is going to be the last podcast we do this year. I know you all are going to be enjoying Christmas and enjoying the new year. We'll be back right after the new year. Keep us in your prayers. Also, remember, Patriot Mobile, Liberty Pastors is the code, and you can take advantage of this great service, great discount, and supporting a God-fearing company that's owned by Christians rather than the godless that are preaching a woke agenda. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Happy New Year.
We'll see you next year. God bless you. Greetings, Liberty Pastors, and those of you that support the Liberty Pastors Network. I am happy to announce that Liberty Pastors just came to an agreement with Patriot Mobile, and you can help support our ministry while providing yourself better coverage and save money in the process, and also you'll be supporting a business that doesn't support woke causes. We've seen the other side weaponizing their money against us for years, deplatforming us for this and for that. Well, it's time that we Christians struck back. Quit spending our money and supporting these businesses that want to sexualize our children or promote the spread of abortion. It's nonsense. We need to stop it. Go to Patriot Mobile and you can subscribe using the access code LibertyPastors. And you will be able to save $30 right off the top. You won't have any initiation fee. They're competitive rate plans, every bit as good or better coverage than the other networks. And as a supporter of Liberty Pastors, we will get a small residual donation from Patriot Mobile on a monthly basis from here on out. So go to Patriot Mobile, sign up under Liberty Pastors and become a part of our supporting network and give yourself better coverage at a better price.